Zayin Yah Siman Pei Vav Halacha Vav. We're going to Siman Pei Zayin Halacha Vav. So we're discussing when a person is cleaning themselves with water. We're discussing going into the river, different shilas. Now also the Kitzur discusses you're rubbing your hands with what's called Mulsan. Mulsan is actually chaff. It's probably the helpful in order to clean your hands. So if a person is doing so, even if your hands are a little bit wet, that's okay. As long as you don't pour the water on the actual brand itself. What's the concern here? This is going into the malacha of lush, kneading, and now that kneading, now that it creates a certain texture of flour and water. And here, similar to the ideas when you have too much water being placed, poured onto the brand, it will give it such a texture and you'll be running into a question of lush. Now, the kitza goes on to say, even you're not allowed to rub your hands with salt or any type of what's called borit. Borit is, boris is what the equivalent of what we have today called soap. And the concern here is a different concern. The concern here is noilad. We've discussed and touched on this concept of noilad, which is basically creating something new. Here the idea is that by dissolving something, it's also considered noilad. It's going from a solid to a liquid. The chamechav of the Shulchan Aruch, meaning the Beis Yosef, the Rav Yosef Karo, is a little bit more lenient. So when it comes to Sfaradim, they have a little bit more of a leeway. But nevertheless, there's another concern called memachik. Memachik, also interesting, falls into another malacha. Discussing a lot of malachas here. The concern of malachas, of memachik, is one of the lamentas malachas, which means to smooth out. Now, it's together with memarech. Memarech means to spread. Now, the idea is, Moshe Feinstein, Zichron Tzadik Livracha, says that when it comes to types of soaps, and even liquid soap he's not so happy about, usually the world is much more lenient when it comes to liquid soap. What liquid soap basically means is that it runs. If you would put it on your hand, it would run. I mean, it wouldn't stay stationary. Even types of soaps that create certain bubbles and stuff like that, there's room to be lenient with that. The reason why is because it's fairly temporary and you don't have any intention, so there's a lot to rely on. But nevertheless, that's the question at hand when it comes to these types of solids that you're creating and dissolving them. We mentioned this halacha that if there's certain waters like the Tveria waters where a person is going in only for the sake of refuah, and if it's recognizable that people only do it before, that's where it becomes questionable. If it is normal to go in, so then it's not such a problem as we mentioned, and even if your intention is to have a refuah from it. Siman Pei Zayin, we're starting now the laws of animals, birds, animals, anything that a person owns actually has a restriction on doing malacha, just like we're not allowed to malacha. So as we say in Kiddush, your animal is also included, so they cannot be doing malacha, unless, as we'll see, there are exceptions to the rule, where there's a specific benefit for them, but in general, they cannot carry. So just like we can't carry, they cannot carry. Now carrying, for us, we already mentioned that there's certain leniencies, like for example, if something is considered an ornament, it's not a problem. When it comes to animals, that doesn't help. However, there are certain things that the animal needs, and in fact, they are beneficial for us too, and they're considered really part, so to speak, as a garment of the animal. So then it's permitted, so long as it's not what's called the Shmir Yisera, an extra too much guarding. So that's how we're going to get into the details and go a little bit more, have an understanding, a little bit more of the different classical classical parts and clothing that the animals actually wear. But let's start with the basics. So as we mentioned, it's based on the pasuk, and the idea is that an animal can't carry. And that means that even if it went into a shul rabbin by itself, there's a concern here, and a person could be transgressing a mitzvah saseh min ha-Torah. Now, even something, as we mentioned, that's considered beauty, that doesn't help you. But if it's something that she's wearing for refuah purposes, that means healing purposes, that's okay. So if there's some type of band-aid that she has on the wound on this animal, that's permissible. Something that you need to guard the animal with, that's considered, like we said, a malbush, a clothing. And therefore, it's like a clothing of a human being. So something that she wears for guarding her is considered clothing like for humans. Now, as we mentioned, if it's too much, what's Koshmir said, it's not okay. Something that an animal is not washed with, so even though maybe another animal would be washed with this item, for this animal, it's considered a masah, it's considered carrying, and again, in a place where there's a shus rabim, that's what we're concerned with, it will not be okay. So here we go. A horse is allowed to go out with what's called an afsar. What's an afsar? It's called a halter. So the halter is used to lead the animal. So it's basically the length of a rope, and the end is tied to the animal's head. Okay, now we're going to discuss exactly how to carry it. Now there's another part. There's what's called the bits. He can't grab it with both. It's unnecessary. You could wrap the rope of this halter around the neck, and this is how you could go. And the idea is it should be loose enough that you could put your hand in. So this way, if you need to grab it and direct it, you'll be able to do so. Another question at hand is placing the actual halter on the animal. You're allowed to do so as long as you don't lean on the animal. There's an issur, separate issur, to lean on an animal because you're using an animal. So using an animal is obviously not allowed to do. And it's actually all part of riding an animal, which we, Chazal, say that they were concerned that you might come and break off a stick or some branch and in order to lead it. You can imagine a little bit more for you in the world of animals. Now, a donkey should not go out with a halter, a metal halter, because that's extra. The donkey doesn't really need it. An ox and a cow that don't need guarding really at all are not going to go with a rope around their necks, unless they're usually running away. Now, there's another item of clothing called the maldat. We see it many times in Chazal, and I think we'll have a deeper, better appreciation now. It's actually the saddle cloth. Now, the saddle cloth is underneath the actual saddle that you usually see on animals, and it was done actually much more for warmth. So a sus, a horse, other animals don't go out with a saddle cloth on Shabbos, but a donkey, interestingly enough, by nature is cold, and therefore, and if it gets cold, it could be unhealthy and dangerous for the animal. So therefore, one is allowed to wear such a saddle cloth, meaning put on a donkey. However, that has to be done before Shabbos. And the concern is, because to put it on Shabbos, you have to tie it, and you won't be able to tie it. And if you're going to put it on without tying it, there's a concern you're going to carry it on Shabbos. Now, Shabbos, you can't tie it. Really, one of the main reasons is not just the tying itself, it could be a keshesh kayam, is because getting close to it again, you have to lean on it. So the only exception is if the donkey's in the courtyard, so then you're allowed to place a saddle cloth on it. Mazon, because you're not going to tie it, so you're not going to really try to lean on it. And you're just doing it within the courtyard, and because it's cold, then it's to make sure it doesn't go out. The horse, like we said, you don't put a saddle cloth unless the cold is so harmful that it's gonna be harmful to the horse too. During the summer season, instead of, there's another concern where the different flies and fleas they see around animals can be very painful to painting to the animal. So then you also have to place a saddle cloth. Interesting. And really, this refers to any garment that's going to protect it. The only, again, concern is not to be to lean on the animal when you're covering the animal. To remove a saddle cloth and Shabbos, whether it's from a horse or a donkey, is not permitted. Why is that? Because there's no real pain if you don't remove it. Another interesting shaila that is already a Mishnah. An animal is not allowed to go out with what's called a zog. A zog is a belt. Now, even if it's going to be what's called pakuk, which means that it's stuffed with material, so it's not ringing and not making any sound. Nevertheless, one's not allowed to put this to go around with an animal. And the reason is because it looks like you're about to sell it. It's a whole new concern. So going in the streets is forbidden, even if there's an erev. If it's in the courtyard, it's okay, so long as it's pakuk. It means to say that it's not making any sound. But if it's not, then it's making a ringing sound. And even in the courtyard, one is not allowed to do so because you're not allowed to produce any noise from the utensil. It's designed for that purpose. Someone asked me on Shabbos, a young boy asked me, can he shoot these sponge-like type of bullets that make like a whistling sound? I felt that wasn't really made for this specific sound, but that's an interesting connection to this discussion here. And lastly, when it comes to taking leading horses, so to lead a horse with a, there's a very specific way in a Shus HaRabim, in the public domain, to lead a horse. And that is that you're leading it with the rope, which is attached to the bit. Now, the edge of the rope shouldn't extend. That means what you're holding in your hand shouldn't extend more than a tefach out of your hand. I mean, if it extends beyond the hand, the tefach, that's a problem because it looks like you're carrying. So You could have a little bit of the rope, meaning most of the rope should, the end of the rope should be in your hand. A little bit of the rope sticking out is okay, as long as it's not 3 inches. Also, the other side of the rope, meaning the rope that's closer, part that's closer to the animal, shouldn't be on the floor. So it should be up until 3 inches off the ground. And hence, many times, if it's too long, then you tie it around the horse. By the way, this applies very much to people that lead their dogs with a rope on Shabbos. Two animals or more that are tied to each other, so you can't pull them one after the other like in a row. Even if there's an air, the reason why, because again, it looks like you're leading them to be sold. Rather, you could hold many of the different ropes in your hand in order to lead them, and you have to do it the way we explained before, with the amount of rope that's on the that could be hanging above the ground and then sticking out of your hand. Have a beautiful day.